More and more evidence is proving that meditation practices can significantly improve a person's mental health. Dr. Patricia Dobkin is an associate professor in the Department of Medicine at McGill University. She's a member of McGill's Whole Person Care Program and a specialist in mind-body medicine. Hi there, welcome.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you for coming in. And Mona Risk is one of Dr. Dobkin's former patients, and she joins us as well. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to meet you both. Now, Dr. Dobkin, let me start with you first. I'm curious because it says here you are a specialist in mind-body medicine, which leads me to the question, what exactly is mind-body medicine?
Well, mind-body medicine is the approach to the human health, both in the sense of illness and wellness, that understands that the mind and the body are one. So there isn't a split between the two. And when you treat the whole person, you realize that you must understand and work with the mind as much as the body.
Which sounds, as you're saying it, incredibly obvious, as though everybody should be taking that approach. But I get the sense that not everybody out there does take that approach, right?
Well, there was a period in medicine where the biological model dominated. And so with the amazing advances in medical sciences, the focus became on the physiology and the body without quite integrating the mind. And I think there had to be an era for that so that we did arrive where we are now, being able to cure diseases that couldn't be cured before. We're treating patients with chronic illness in a way that enables them to live for long periods of time. So I think that had to be for a while. But now we've come to a point where integrative medicine is gaining ground, and that is integrating various approaches to the human health so that, for example, a cancer patient may be going through chemotherapy, but be in pain in such a way that maybe acupuncture would also be helpful. So it isn't an either or, it's not alternative, it's complementary.
And that was a very diplomatic answer. You've been asked that question before, I think.
I've been working in this field for 25 years. So when I first came to it, there was no recognition of the importance of it. So I've grown with it, and I've watched it change, and I feel very privileged to be in a period of medicine now that this is actually becoming possible.
And how did you come to find that specialty of mind-body medicine?
Well, it goes way back. I was an undergraduate at McGill in the 80s, actually okay. In the 70s, and Dr. Ronald Malczak was my first mentor. And he is one of the most famous psychologists with regard to pain. So basically, in the earliest part of my career as an undergraduate, I had a mentor who was a world-renowned pain specialist. And he taught me right from the beginning that the mind is extremely important to the pain experience, and the emotions are important to the experience. So since that time, I've just expanded my repertoire in how to help patients with various chronic illnesses, including chronic pain.
And so these days you teach mindful meditation to health service professionals and to med students. How receptive are they in 2013 to these practices?
Let me just back up a little bit because I began by training to teach it to patients.
Okay.
So patients with chronic illness and chronic pain. But then, to my surprise, where the work got the most attention was when we modified the mindfulness-based stress reduction program to include health professionals, physicians to start, and then nurses and psychologists and social workers were also interested, and we realized how stressed they were and how distressed some of them are. And we realized two things. First of all, that we could help them with compassion fatigue, burnout, depression. But my real motivation for putting more of my energy into the work with the healthcare professionals was that I realized that they had much more contact with patients. If I could see 20 per group, they see thousands. So it occurred to me that I could actually have more of an impact if I taught the doctors and the students in medicine, because they'll see so many more people. But your question was the uptake. Well, at McGill University, starting in 2015, we will be teaching every single medical student in the third year before they begin clerkship. clerkship is a very difficult period for the students. It's when they're thrown into the hospitals. And so the Department of Medicine has agreed to put this in the curriculum.
That's fantastic.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's great. Let me bring somebody else into the conversation now, who I introduced and who has been sitting quite patiently. Mona Risk, you're a former patient of Dr. Dobkin. How did you come to find out about mindful meditation?
I think it was just really chance, luck, looking into it. I had a chronic condition. I was diagnosed with a chronic condition, and I was suffering from a lot of pain.
You have MS.
Yes. And it was starting to affect me emotionally. And so I had read this book called Full Catastrophe Living by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who had begun this mindfulness-based stress reduction program in the States. And I just started to Google in Montreal to see if it was offered in Montreal, and found Patricia, and then the rest is history, as they say.
And what has it meant for you?
It's meant so many things, but if I can just focus, let's say, on one area, which is pain, because a lot of chronic conditions suffer from pain. And what I never realized before the program is how much the body tenses up. And the more your body tenses, the more your mind starts to catastrophize about how bad the pain is and how awful it is, the worse the pain feels. And by doing the mindfulness program, I was able to just stop, get an awareness of what was going on in my body, breathe into it, relax, and just suddenly the pain that was at a level of 8 or 9 that day subsided to maybe a 5 or 6. So, hey, I could go on with my life that day. And it was still there, but the intensity was not as bad. And so it's been extremely helpful.
I introduced you as a former patient of Dr. Dobkin, but do you still practice mindful meditation?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, I think Patricia was asking me that before. Some days I will actually sit and do an official practice, so to speak. But at other days, it's just part of my day-to-day living. If I notice, hey, my mind is going in a bad direction, I'm like becoming tense, aggravated, I'll just stop in the middle of the day and I say, okay, what's happening here? Like, what's going on? And then suddenly I become the observer of the tension around me, and I'm able to, okay, can I handle this a little differently? So it's been huge for me.
That sounds fantastic. I want to ask you a little bit more about this sort of, on a practical level, the nuts and bolts of doing this. Once you've learned, and I imagine you want to learn from someone how to do it properly, when we talk about mindful meditation, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, in the course, which is currently going on, I have a class that's ending this Friday, I teach 5 different approaches to meditation. And that's because I recognize that different people will feel comfortable with different approaches. So, for example, there's what most people think of meditation as sitting in silence and concentrating perhaps on your breath. That's one approach. But the body scan is another one, where you become very aware of body sensations, like Mona just talked about. Another one is mindful yoga. So moving in a very a way that you're aware of your body in movement. We also do walking meditation. So there's different formats of meditation, and in the end, people select what works for them at that time in their life, and that can shift. So if someone has arthritis, for example, and they wake up stiff in the morning, maybe that'll be a time to do a gentle hatha yoga so that they can bring kind of some flexibility to their body.
And when someone says to you, meditation, that's weird, what do you say?
I'll ask them what they think it is. Rather than answer it for them, I'll say, well, weird, what do you mean? And I'll usually hear myths about it. And so then I'll try and dispel those myths. But the best way, really, to teach it is not to talk about it, but to give people the experience. So in the course, it's, I would say, 2/3 of the time in the class is experiential. So when people ask that question, I say, well, when you do it, because I'll lead them in a short meditation, I'll say, well, is that weird? You know, what did you just experience? What did you notice? And so they find out for themselves what it is rather than have me tell them.
That must change a lot of minds.
I think that minds are very ready to hear and experience this. And so I don't change their minds. They become aware of their own minds and what's happening in their minds. And that's the teacher.
Mona, Risk, you were talking about pain levels before of 9, sort of without this, and down to 5 or 6, a manageable level with this. This has really changed your life.
Absolutely. It's like Patricia said, you know, you wake up because, and I mean, in my case, speaking from my personal case, I wake up every morning in pain. It's a question of degrees. And sometimes when the pain is intense, then it's just time to do a simple body scan and release. Sometimes I will do a yoga practice to stretch. And so, yeah, it's made a huge difference.
Thank you so much, both of you, for coming. This is really, really interesting. I'm glad to have learned about it. Dr. Patricia Dobkin, Associate Professor in the Department of Medicine at McGill, member of McGill's Whole Person Care Program, specializing in mind body medicine. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Mona Risk, former patient of Dr. Dobkin, who practices mindful meditation to help her cope with MS. Thank you, and nice
Thank
to
you.
Meet you as well.